Bryan Danielson, the ROH World Champion and best wrestler in the world. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is Third Generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Al Silk. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
What you need to learn is that this is my house.
Spud.
Look into my eyes when I tell you that, thank God, I'm an ass!
Will.
Hey, yo.
Mace.
As everyone knows, that I am the most powerful force, both doing nevermore.
And the Omega.
I'm the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Join the club, we've got jackets.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And on the top of the show, I will announce to you that Tim Stein will no longer be walking among us. And whoever is responsible, there will be vengeance whenever we can get around to it. But in the meantime, we also do not have Will, and Spug will be joining us a little later in the show as soon as he gets his Skype together. So in the meantime, it is myself, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way. And for now, we have Mace.
It's really sad that I picked up the Join the Club bit of the opening is from Shrek just now.
No, I was actually thinking of Googling that one myself. I didn't quite remember where that came from.
Yeah, and I watched the new Shrek last night, and that's what clicked me in.
And we have a special guest with us, too, but fuck him. Anyway, moving on to...
I'm the special guest, goddammit!
There you are, Spug. Here, do you want to introduce our special guest for the night?
It's me!
There's nothing special about you.
Well, something my mommy says.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Running the Ropes, we have Mav.
I know.
Fuck Mav.
It's kind of weird how all of a sudden calling someone an asshole was a compliment.
Well, it's marketable in TNA now.
Apparently it is.
Yeah,
fuck
TNA.
I'm
going to
call each and every one I meet an asshole. Sorry.
One at a time, boys, or I'll put you in the corner.
Do I here's the difference, Mav. We don't call you fuck this shit.
Go, Mace.
Nah, fuck yous.
Okay. If he's not going to talk, Mav, do you want to join the conversation?
I have nothing to rebuttal anymore, apparently.
Before we get going tonight, I do have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important, because today is a very important day in world history.
Really?
Do you know what today is? Just give me, if you know what the date is, don't say it out loud that you know what it is. Just,
I know
tell
what
you
today
the date.
Is.
June 6th.
I know the date.
Mm-hmm.
It escapes me right at the moment.
I'm going to read something for you all. Everybody on the Wild Talk Radio Network, people listening all over, I want you to understand how important this day is. You will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940 and 1941. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeat in open battle man-to-man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons, munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The freemen of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessings of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. The D-Day order speech given by Dwight D. Eisenhower on June 6th, 1944. The day Operation Overlord invaded the beaches of Normandy, France, at Omaha, Utah, Sword, Juneau, and I believe there's only four. I think there's five beaches, I'm sorry. Australians, Canadians, Brits, and Americans all laid their lives on the line for the world to bring Hitler's Third Reich to its knees. That is the day that the world, as one, defeated the Nazi regime. It is not the day the war ended, but that is the serious turning of the tide. Now, I may not be very eloquent in what I want to say, but I'm pretty sure y'all can get the message. If you have a grandfather, a great uncle, a great-grandfather, it doesn't matter. A friend of a neighbor of a friend of a cousin named Bobby Joe who fought in World War II or knew somebody who fought in World War II or helped out in World War II. Go up to them today and thank them. Thank them that you are standing here upon free soil wherever you may be, Canada, America, Norway, it doesn't matter. Thank them, shake their hand. Because if it were not for them, we would all be saluting and speaking in German, and there would be statues of Hitler everywhere. Thank you, thank them for standing up and saying, fuck you, Hitler, we're not taking it anymore. Thank them for laying their lives on the line. There's a famous saying, all gave some. But some gave all. And it is no more true than this day. Go look at the pictures of Normandy beaches and see the white crosses lining the beaches and the cemeteries. If you know anybody who fought, served, or did anything in World War II, thank them for what they did. Sorry, I'm better now.
It's well said, man.
Want to play Don't Tread on Me by Metallica and just give a big middle finger. No, I've been watching, D-Day and World War II documentaries all day. Aside from the time when I was at work.
Of course.
Yeah! USA! 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 No, I'm kidding.
This is why we have Rock as a producer.
I was listening. I got tears in my eyes.
It's awesome.
I do. I literally have tears in my eyes. There, it's no doubt that I'm like the most patriotic one on this network, unfortunately.
Hey.
I actually had a grandfather that served with the Nisei Army. From the Japanese internment camps.
My stepfather's dad was a tanker in World War II.
Nice.
And he was, from rumor and innuendo, I figured out that he was at the Battle of the Bulge. But he will not talk, he would not talk about World War II while he was alive. Would not talk about what he saw, would not talk about what he did. Only that he did his duty. And I wish I wish I could have got him to sit down and talk about it. I've tried for years and years to get into World War II reenacting. I have friends who do it. I get to go to them here and there. There was actually one in Columbus today that was a D-Day reenactment. They did a lot of the. They did as best as they could to simulate a lot of what happened on D-Day as far as pillboxes and the beach landings and things like that, but I had to work. I wish I could have gone. I wanted to see it. But my goal before I die is to make it to Normandy, France and see the beaches.
Yeah.
Jeez. And a grandpa.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring the mood down. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's all right.
I was sitting here and I was talking to Rock before the show, and earlier because I didn't know Tim wasn't going to be on. The joke was that I wanted to do the Batista freak out, and Rock was going to play the Bret Hart, try and calm me down and whatnot. But I wanted to do the Batista freak out and quit on air and throw my microphone down and walk away. And then I got to watching a D-Day thing. I was on History Channel Online, and I went, oh my god, it's June 6th. You know, I had forgotten about it earlier. I watched stuff earlier today and then forgot what day it was and then remembered again, and I went, Rock, I need a couple minutes at the beginning of the show. So I'm sorry if I brought the mood down. I apologize. I just wanted everybody to remember the reference of today.
Yeah, don't worry about it, dude. I mean That was cool. That was very heartfelt. That's definitely not a side of Spuck we get to hear very often. So I'm more than happy to take the time to hear it.
I'm very heartfelt when I tell you to fuck off. I just sound like an asshole.
He's very heartfelt when he says he doesn't like Canada.
No, that's a shtick. I'm gonna put that to bed right now, because I got an email from somebody that was very angry about my fuck Canada and blame Canada. I have known Tim Stein for years upon years upon years. And a while back, before I was even a host on this show, he called me a silly, stupid American. And so, you know,
Not an incorrect statement.
Now, that started our whole back and forth of Canada versus America. And so it is more of a shtick at Tim than it is at the country of Canada. Canada is an awesome country. It has some great strip joints and some very gorgeous women. They're just very backwards.
In my case, Mark Emery lives in Canada. So I can't say anything bad about it.
Yeah, I have far too many Canadian friends. I kind of had to back away when Spud gets going.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, we're about 20 minutes past the hour. Do we want to talk a little bit of wrestling right now?
Fuck wrestling. Why not? And Canada. And Matt.
There you go.
There's
Spud. Back to form. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case...
Before we do move on...
Okay.
With Spud's whole speech and everything... I've got to say this part. It's extremely hard for me to sit here hearing those types of speeches because, as I've stated in the backstage chat here, not only am I Australian, I was born in Australia, raised in Australia, half of my family is Australian, the other half of my family is of German descent. So... days like this are extremely weird for me because on one side, part of my family quite possibly has been involved in that war on the Allies side, And I'm very afraid to go back through the history of the German side of my family, because I am very afraid to find that I might have either relatives or ancestors or something that was involved in the Nazi side of the war. So, yeah, as much as I love those speeches, you know, it's a great day for all people of the world. It's sort of scary for me to have to see part of my own past come on the bad side of things.
Mace.
Yeah, Mace.
Don't feel bad, man. Saul Zwimmers, who is a very German name, by the way. But there are Saul Zwimmers who served the Third Reich in World War II, who were on the beaches, who fought against the Allies. I was born and raised in the United States. I am of United States descent. I have heritage that stems back to Europe. But you know what? I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I had relatives on both sides. And neither should you be. Because you know what? It's part of what makes us who we are.
Exactly.
So pretty now, much we can turn around and say that's where our asshole sides come from?
Exactly. Now, let's talk some wrestling.
All right. For those of you who don't watch Friday Night SmackDown, and why would you? You people have lives.
Did Undertaker die, by the way?
Undertaker's dead again.
Did I miss something? I mean, I thought that was his whole gimmick before, was he was the dead man. Did they resurrect him again? Should we calling him Jesus?
No, when he comes back, he'll be the deader man. Just to clear up any of the confusion.
The Under Overtaker.
Well, I mean, if he is the dead man, if they call him the dead man, and apparently they killed him on Friday night, or now they're saying he's in a vegetative state, doesn't matter. But if they killed him on Friday night, would they not have to resurrect the dead man to kill him? So does that mean we can call him Jesus?
No, I always figured that the Undertaker was sort of like a ghoul in World of Warcraft. You just res him every time he dies. Get some corpse dust. It's all right.
Yeah, Death Valley is just a respawn point. You come to find out years down the line that the whole WWE is just Kane and Undertaker in one big death match. First to five kills wins, and Undertaker's just now starting to lose to Kane at this point.
It's a Kane WWE slayer. Comic book story.
No, Mav. This no. No.
Mav. All right. I don't know what you're used to on that college show of yours, but this is where the big boys play. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's WCW. Anyway, this is the feature show of the network. We do things a little differently around here.
I'm just saying, it's like the WWE comic story.
God damn it.
Do not bring those stories up, ever.
You're ruining it.
Go ahead.
Team Slayer, rated battle. That's what this is.
Alright, but overall, look at the grand scheme of things. Is this the right direction to go with another dead angle for The Undertaker?
You know what's sad is you had to put the word another on the,
yeah, well,
the prefix of that.
Someone's trying Leslie Nielsen's business.
That's like saying another pregnancy test or STD test for Lita. After a while, really?
No, those are on Wednesday nights.
Those are on Maury.
Yeah, it's a weekly special now.
Yes.
A little 5-minute segment. And coming up after the commercial break, we'll find out if Lita has another STD.
Is it possible that Lita's so skanky that that her STDs have STDs?
Jeez, I think her STDs could have children at this point.
With STDs?
Yeah, well, just creating new STDs that only maybe exist in Lita.
So I ask, is Lita a servant of Nurgle?
I don't get that reference.
Is she a plague bearer? Khorne is the blood god, Nurgle is the plague god in Warhammer.
You are a dork, sir.
Dude, I'm horrible. Horrible.
Welcome to OTL here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
I've worn rock.
I'm such a nerd.
Yeah, wrong night to be nerdy.
Yeah.
By the way, Betty's up and running, finally.
About time.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, different fucking angle. How about that?
How about that?
They should do a different fucking angle.
No, I meant about this little discussion. One that may not lead into World of Warcraft or Warhammer or anything overtly dorky.
You know what? How about this? I have a penis.
That is not nerdy.
Again,
at least.
Again, OTL talk.
Wait, we start discussing my penis on OTL. I'm sure
you've brought it up in some topics at some point.
At some point, yeah.
Don't use the phrase brought it up ever again, referring to his dick.
Anyway.
So how intense was that Kane promo?
Wow. You said how intense was that, and I heard the K part, and it seemed like forever till the Ain came. I was like, is he going to start talking about KY?
That is your mind dragging it into the gutter, sir.
Sorry, I can't help it.
And I like to suck big hairy cock.
What the fuck was that?
That was the blackmail folder.
It's like the big poofy balls comment from Omega. You have that one,
yes.
Rob?
Yes, but I haven't said anything in that horrible today.
Big poofy balls.
It's nowhere near as bad as yours.
You know, my blackmail folder is probably several gigabytes thick at this point.
I feel bad for Rock at this point, then.
Yeah. What? Yeah, you have hard drive space left.
Yeah, Rock just enjoys playing them, because he gets a chuckle out of them.
That's why he keeps them. It's going to take up all the space on his comp.
No. The porn collection is... Never mind. Oh, wait, that's my computer.
Yeah.
Trying to stay on topic here.
Dude,
never!
Really, you should have given that up in the first 15 minutes.
No, because I'm kind of trying to run this damn show.
I will say, in terms of Kane's speech was... It felt like he was overacting. It totally felt like a really bad movie, and he just had to overact it. To Christopher Walken.
Oh, God, it's...
So he was acting
evil too.
Like John Cena?
No, yes.
See no evil too.
He's acting like John Cena, who's still trying to get cheers, even though everyone still hates his guts.
See, I don't even agree with that. I thought it was a very intense promo, and it reminded me of what Kane could do back in the days when he really was feuding with Undertaker. Which, you know, keep in mind, how many times has Kane tried to set Undertaker on fire now, and now he misses his brother?
About 85 times.
Yeah.
But the second he started that promo, I'm looking at it going, oh shit, here we go, another Kane versus Undertaker angle.
Still trying to figure out when they're going to find Leslie Nielsen's number again. From the last time he died. Sorry, the one before the last time he died.
No, the one he died after that was the when Kane buried him alive.
Yeah, and he did
Kane
the badass
thing. And then earlier than that, Kane set the casket on fire. Before that was the jaw take angle. And before that was the casket match with Yokozuna. So the Undertaker's died about four or five times now.
God damn.
He's a lemming.
He's an earthworm.
If he's an earthworm, get him a super suit, get him, turn him into Earthworm Jim.
That took 5 seconds too long, Mace. What happened?
I had...
Welcome to the party.
And hey, I'm Mav, supposed to be the stoner. Fuck you.
Yeah, it just felt like it was overacting. That's all it was.
It's still, yeah, but it's pro wrestling. I mean, what would it be if there was no overacting?
No, this was over. This is overacting over pro wrestling quality. Overacting.
Yeah, it was bordering on Wrestlelicious style promos.
Yes! It was a Wrestlelicious story.
Wrestlelicious can suck a fart out of my asshole.
I'm sure it would want to, actually, at this point. Because that's how they're going to get ratings. Anyway, fucking... Sorry, I'm high. And yes, I just admitted that on there. Anyway...
Don't do that on college radio. You get kicked off by the FCC, buddy.
If the FCC knew about us. I think
I can make the FCC know about you.
True. True.
Like anybody actually knows about his show.
Dude, the one listener he has on his show is his mom.
That's when we're not doing football games.
Bless you, Mav. You try so hard to play along.
No, because I know exactly what you're talking about. We don't get that many listeners, I admit, but we get listeners.
Family members don't count. I mean, look, we have 16 viewers right now, listeners to our show. I bet you at least half of them, if not three-fourths of them, are just people from a halfway house who have nothing better to do on Sunday night because it's not curfew time yet.
And I could guarantee we'd probably hit 30-odd if Mav would get off the air.
All right, I'm sorry for that commercial. Jesus. Is that what you wanted me to say, Mace, ever since I made it? Fuck.
Oh, no. No, no. You're not done paying your penance yet.
I'm still, you know, honestly, that new one that you guys made, I would love to hear one from everybody.
Oh, you'll get one. I just
say with the same stuff.
I have to find time and want to do it. And by the way, Kane promo, awesome. Let's move on.
It was awesome, though.
Yeah. Would you be concerned, would you be disappointed if Kane was the one who did it in the first place?
No. No, because I think those two wrestle awesome together. I really do. Look, there aren't too many big men, let alone in all of wrestling, but just in the WWE, there aren't too many big men that can move the way that those two could move at one point. And still, even at their age, they're fairly athletic for men of their size.
Yeah.
So, I mean, watching those two get together is always kind of interesting. If it has the right hype and build-up behind it, it's awesome.
Plus, you got to think, it's about time they lit a fire on the Kane's ass and made him look like a fucking monster again instead of this guy who comes out, bashes people, and then walks off. Give him some fucking character again.
He doesn't want to, though. He enjoys his life.
He's been there so long, and he's so well-respected. He could be a top title contender anytime he wanted, but he's happy in his spot.
I know that, but still, it's good to see the character, if not the man, getting a decent push or actually look like something more than a throwaway character that he's become in the last 4 or 5 years.
You know what? He's on a local radio show almost every week. They have him on and they talk to him, and you know they really don't talk to him. They try not to talk to him a whole lot about wrestling. Just because, you know, like, the first, like, 4 interviews they did with him were all about wrestling. But, he did say something a while back, where he was talking about, he and his wife, and his wife has kids. You know, they have no kids together, but his wife all had kids from a previous marriage. And then I do believe one was graduating high school this year, and he said he was gonna get a little bit more involved in wrestling once the youngest had graduated high school this year and was off to college. So, you know, this may be the start of it. Maybe we'll see him make a run at a legitimate run at a title for a while, and then fade back into mediocrity.
Yeah, oh, I hope so. I mean, WWE is kind of running out of things now. We'll get into that later, I guess. That's somewhere else in the topic list. Stay tuned for it. Keeping on this one just a little bit longer, we have Rey Mysterio taking Undertaker's place in the Fatal 4-Way at the Fatal 4-Way.
Way to go there, Slick.
Thank you.
And taking his place in the Elimination Chamber match at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
Cross that off.
Blame WWE.
And redundancy much?
And coming to you next month is Rey Mysterio replacing Rey Mysterio in the single match pay-per-view.
No, next month it's going to be Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk, and Rey Mysterio is going to have to replace CM Punk.
Is he going to wear the CM Punk mask? By the way, how gay does that thing look? It looks like he missed the BDSM convention in Vegas this year.
It looks like he stole that from the Pulp Fiction prop closet.
What? He should just come out with Sarita on a leash and Luke Gallows carrying a big 5-foot paddle with holes in it that just says spank me on it.
That's so PG.
Yeah. You see him come out and looks like he wants to fuck Bruce Willis in the ass.
I need that mental image.
Dude. Nobody fucks Bruce
no
Willis
one does.
In the ass. But if they did, they would have to say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I think that whole Mysterio thing was completely retarded.
Wait,
Rey Mysterio, really?
Did you really have to lengthen that word?
Yes.
How hard is it to say retarded?
It's not hard to say retarded, but I try and put the thing.
Dude, does your college have a support school for the Weaver School? I mean, are you sister schools with them?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
Positive.
Yes.
Okay. The word is retarded. Retarded. Not retarded. Retarded. Now continue if you can say it properly.
It was retarded.
Thank you.
It's like Tim and the word anomaly.
Oh. All right.
But
okay.
Sorry, I had to stop when you hear that. Anyway,
you had a run in.
Hold on. Come here, Bubba. Ready? You ready? Hold on. I'm gonna mute my mic for a second.
Waiting in anticipation.
Do we need a drum roll or a countdown?
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio, where we never ever stay on topic.
Or are better. Setting
up a magic trick, I think.
Probably.
You ready? Okay.
Scream loud!
Had to keep it PG, right, Spug?
Say it again, one more time. Say screw Mav. Go ahead.
Screw Mav.
That's a clip.
Nice clip. Rock's on the ball.
Rock's going to be busy tonight.
Hi, Bubba. Love you. Say I Triple H is the... Come here. What'd you say? Triple H is the man.
Triple H is the man.
Hold on. One more. God. One more. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Now the wife won't have it. She's annoyed with it already.
The law has been put down.
Yeah.
Sorry, kid. That's your promo time.
There you go.
Ready? Say, woo!
Woo!
Jersey girl. Yes. Jersey girl, that's my daughter. It's not a boy.
That sucks.
She is 4. I was there when she was born. I was unaware of any penis.
Forty-two minutes after the hour.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to get castrated when I go to bed tonight.
Probably.
Because I told my daughter to say, screw, Mav. But how does that feel, Mav? You got insulted by a 4-year-old. She doesn't even know who you are.
Seriously. It's because you gave her some pep talk. No one needs to know who Mav is, except for local people.
Yeah, they know who you are, and they're ashamed of it.
Yeah. But at least they know me.
They pretend not to.
I actually got recognized on Friday.
When you went to the soup kitchen?
No. When I went to the RFW show on Friday, I got recognized. Like, hey, Maverick. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. That was pretty redeeming.
They probably thought, hey, it's that guy from the pedophile register.
The guy with a sign in his yard.
Where's Chris Hansen at?
Sex offender lives here.
Back on track. Just little bit here.
Oh no.
Was it the right idea to put Rey Mysterio in the Fatal 4-Way match, or would you have put someone else in there?
Who all's in it, by the way? I don't know who all's in it.
It was basically everyone that was on the SmackDown roster. Some of them didn't wrestle at all. It's like a battle royal between everyone. So you got Luke Gallows, Rey Mysterio.
God damn it, Mav. I asked who is in the Fatal 4-Way.
Oh, I thought you said who was in...
Himself.
Okay. Right now, it is Jack Swagger, Big Show, CM Punk, and now Rey Mysterio.
Okay, so you took two of the matches from your last pay-per-view and said, we'll put all four of those guys in the ring together at the same time?
Basically.
And considering that The Undertaker beat Rey Mysterio to earn his spot in Fatal 4-Way, since he is, quote-unquote, in a vegetative state.
Well,
it doesn't make sense to put Mysterio in there as a default win for Mysterio.
Well, shots of tequila will put anybody in a vegetative state.
Here's the hilarious thing. I mean, Rey Mysterio busts Undertaker's orbital bone and then gets rewarded with a championship match at a pay-per-view.
You really think he's going to win? No.
No, but he's going to get paid for a championship match at a pay-per-view.
It's true.
Dude, he's going to get a payday for putting their biggest star out.
Undertaker was out already. He just came back for the show. He was going back home.
Yeah, but that's just resting up. Now he actually has bones that need to mend.
You know, I wouldn't have put Big Show or Swag or Mysterio in this one.
Why do you say that?
Because I think it's time you start elevating some of your mid-carders to start... I really think it's time to start bringing that next round of stars in. Because you've already picked out a couple that you're going to elevate as your newer stars. CM Punk, Jack Swagger. I think you could put Randy Orton in that mix. John Morrison to a point. But I think it's time... You know how you have that crop that's just below them that are always involved with the newer stars? And quite frankly, Big Show and Mysterio to me have always been upper echelon, mid-card guys. They're workhorses. I mean, they're great for storylines, they're great for this and that, but they're not stars.
Oh, Big Show's been...
To me, anyway.
I can make an argument against the Big Show on that, because he's been around for a long time now, and, you know, just because the size and the stature that the guy has and the ability he has to work a promo. I mean, that's the most surprising thing about the guy. He is always in that position where if we need someone to go into the world title, he's always believable in that role.
He's don't get me wrong, I respect the hell out of the Big Show. I'm not saying anything bad about him. He's always there, he's always ready for anything that they need him for. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that if you have Punk and Swagger in this match, perhaps you put a John Morrison, a Kofi Kingston, somebody else alongside them that can elevate them as well, as well as being elevated themselves, because you've got Kofi, who I think is ready for a world title run.
Hold off on this, because this is a topic coming up in the next segment. And
is it really? God damn it.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, let's not get too far into this yet. But I think
you put somebody like a Kofi or a John Morrison in this match opposite Swagger and Punk.
That would be logical, but then again, you got to remember this is a company that has given us such great things as burying the crap out of Bryan Danielson for eight straight weeks.
Well, thank God we don't have you on
the show. There's the one. And of course, putting Loki with Lay Cool. So,
what the fuck is that about? By the way,
who the fuck knows? That NXT
save it.
Was
save.
By the way, just one last thing. They only have one more to go, and they'll have four of ROH's top stars.
They're trying to collect the set.
All they need is one more. All they need is Samoa Joe.
It's like ROH Pokemon.
Gotta get them all.
Gotta catch a Delirious.
I choose you, Loki.
Go, Amdrak.
Delirious. And on that note, with your favorite ROH star spending time in little tiny pocket-sized balls, we're going to take a break. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night. We'll be right back talking about the injury-prone upper card and more on the next pay-per-view. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
And my pocket-sized balls. On the scene like the Brown Crusader, blowing up screens like Space Invader. Too much damage for one of manicorns. 5150 speaking Spanish. Hasta un lado estoy pesado. Vivo la vida peleando pecado. Estados Unidos al otro lado. I bola Canadá, se suena solao. Do it for my people, yeah, you gotta love it. Mexican across the stomach, so think nothing of it but love it. Lucha, de la calle a la lucha. Siempre represento con mi chacho cachucha. 619, sin war, that's my core.
Hey Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Well, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Montonsubi.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time. Remember, we're on Eastern Time. Till basically, me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Davis?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know my name. Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Sydney Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Eat my pussy. I like big cocks. Fuck me harder. Fuck, I'm vibrating here. Sir Rockin' is the greatest producer on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock is number one.
Really, Cindy? You really think of me like that? Oh, that's so sweet.
Eat my pussy.
You want to know more about her dreams and fantasies and all of her, well, sexual desires? Tune in Thursday nights for Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'll even be there. Unless she kills me for taping this.
Rock?
Oh crap, she found out. I'm a dead man.
This is Bob the Fire Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, special Canadian pre-edition of the show tonight. As you can hear by the music, we are going to be talking a little bit of the return of the man himself later on. But since we kind of got into it before the break, WWE is suffering from a lot of injuries and absences on its veteran roster, and now it just might be time for them to start pushing some new stars. I think Spug was trying to get into this topic before.
Spug?
Unmute your microphone, Spug.
God damn microphone mute. Gotta watch that.
Yeah, I was unaware that this was a topic in this segment until I just checked my email during the last... Shows you how often I check my email.
Goodness. We prepare. You know, Rock doesn't write those for nothing.
Doesn't mean I actually read them.
Well, we
or
just
care.
haven't Well, The Undertaker is now injured again. Triple H is still out on injury. HBK and Batista are gone. Is it time to push the young crew?
Yes. 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 Definitely. Yes. 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 Because you know what? There's two guys out there, and as far as I know, Christopher Daniels is still unsigned, and I'm pretty sure you could get Samoa Joe away from TNA at this point in time. Because if you get Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, you have Low-Ki, you have Bryan Danielson, you have CM Punk, you have five guys right there, and I'm not being an ROH mark, I'm being dead serious. You have five guys right there that will put that company on their back and go, you want to get people involved? Here we go! And then go on a rise. Because some of the best matches I ever saw in ROH were when Punk was his heel that he's playing right now. Going against American Dragon.
Now, how priceless would it have been if they didn't bring Samoa Joe back to TV, and then in the meantime, he got bought by the WWE. So now TNA would have these masked WWE ninjas that were literally stealing talent on the air.
That would have made sense.
Yeah.
There is a wealth of younger talent in the WWE, and it's the one thing that you can always look at the WWE and say, they do that right. They really do. Because as much as they want to say, oh, we're not wrestling, you really are. And they do good by themselves by building a crop of younger talent. Ted DiBiase, Cody Rhodes, Kofi Kingston. You've got Bryan Danielson, which I wish they would get rid of the Daniel Bryan gimmick. And you know what? You don't even have to call him the American Dragon. Just call him Bryan Danielson. That's fine. Just call him Bryan Danielson. Just for Christ's sakes, get rid of the Daniel Bryan bullshit. We all know who the hell he is.
We got Joe Hennig coming up now too, under a completely different name.
Oh, that's right. We got Mr. Perfect's boy coming in.
Yep. He's next season NXT.
I wonder if he's going to be anything like his old man.
Yeah. Michael McGillicuddy.
Yep.
The WWE, I understand WWE wants to change the name so they have something to trademark and profit from to make sure, if they go to the competition, they're not going to use that name against us. But come on, I mean, people know these names. They know Hennig. They know Bryan Danielson. You stand to make more money just leaving it that way.
Yeah, but the thing with Hennig is they are playing up the fact that he is Kurt's son. They're playing it up, yet they're calling him Michael McGillicuddy.
I would be all over it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're pushing
right.
The heritage, but they changed the name completely.
Mike Rotunda's kid's on this episode, too.
That's right. I forgot.
Under a different name.
Husky Harris. That's one chunky son of a bitch, by the way.
If he teams up with Ted DiBiase Jr. at some point.
Money Inc. 2.
The Trust Fund.
Yeah, the Trust Fund. Yes!
I would, you think about it. Think about
Should
it. You have
shit. I swear.
You have Randy Orton, who's what, third generation or second?
Yep. Orton's third generation.
Orton's third, but you have Kurt Hennig, who's second generation, or Joe Hennig, who's second generation. You have Bo Rotunda, who's second generation. Ted DiBiase Jr., who's second generation.
Wrong.
Ted DiBiase Jr.
Other two. Ted's second. Joe's a third, and so is Rotunda's boy.
Oh, that's right, Larry the Axe Henning, I'm sorry. But you have Bo who's second gen. My point is here.
Oh.
Finish.
Oh, okay. We also. All right. Go.
You have Henning, DiBiase, Rotunda, Rhodes, Orton. A who's who. Of professional wrestling in names.
Smith.
And I wish that they would do something to finally capitalize upon that. I know they tried with Legacy, but it didn't work out so well. If you, I mean, and now you have Rikishi's boys, you have Snuka's girl, you have the Hearts, you have Neidhart's daughter, you have Bulldog's son, you have TJ Wilson, the last guy trained in the dungeon. You have this wealth of pro wrestling royalty. Do something with it. Yes, and you have Natty's titties.
I was waiting on you for that one.
Second generation twins.
I honestly think they're going to replace the entire WWE roster with second and third generation wrestlers. Outside of some of the indie talent they bring in, like Danielson, Loki, and Rotunda.
Now, they do kind of have to flesh out the roster with some new blood, but I am glad that they are using the families. Though, still, again, this whole name change thing, I mean, yes, if you're going to say, oh, you know, okay, Rikishi's twin boys are on Raw now, fine, you know, at least, you know, at least give them names so that we can pretend it is the same family. Because, you know, 90% of the time, you know, I gain more knowledge just watching the matches, listening to the announcers. Okay, you know, like, you know, if, you know, they keep announcing a hip toss by McGillicuddy, you know, I don't care. You know, if it's Hennig, on the other hand, and you know, I see Hennig in my mind and say, yeah, that's the guy, that's the kid.
The only name I want to hear announced before McGillicuddy is Beulah.
Yes.
That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
That's the only name I want to hear before McGillicuddy is Beulah.
Followed by retired.
I mean, it's just hilarious. I mean, we're not going to pretend that this is Mr. Perfect's kid. We're not gonna let him use the last name Hennig. We will give people a false impression that it's Tommy Dreamer's kid.
Like, I get with you I'm with you, Omega. I get why they changed the name so they have something to copyright and market and trademark and things like that. But, like, for example, Low-Key and Bryan Danielson spent years upon years in ROH, TNA, and the like, you know, across the country, building themselves as Low-Key or the American Dragon Bryan Danielson. I'm sure, because WWE is going to be paying them royalty rights because it's their likeness. Anyway, I'm sure you can work out a deal for that name.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That means WWE would have to spend more money. Whereas they don't want to spend money. They want to make money by giving these guys a new, quote-unquote, original name. They have something they can trademark that they get whatever percentage of the royalties and everything for everything that's created for the character. They're
well,
trying to just get more profit.
Honky Tonk Man, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and Greg the Hammer Valentine still do indie shows across the country on a regular basis. Even Roddy Piper does. And they all go by Roddy Piper, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Honky Tonk Man. Those were all names that they used in the WWE or WWF when they were there at that point.
But that was back in the day when they trademarked those names themselves. They were the names they came up with from indie circuit all the way to making it to the pros. I mean, even when WWE or WWF at the time gave them that identity, they were the ones who owned it, who were in control of it. Same reason Hulk Hogan is still Hulk Hogan in TNA. And he went through a ton of legal battles, not only with WWF, but also Marvel, to keep the name Hulk Hogan. You know, and he successfully kept the trademark. He's still using it. He's profiting off of it. That's why when, like, Jack Specific does, like, Legends Wrestlers, they can't go to WWE and say, hey, okay, we have your license, so we're going to use him. They have to go to each individual wrestler from those ages and go, can we use you?
well, then they need to go back to that model, because quite frankly, I'm sorry, but I will never be able to call Brian Danielson Daniel Bryan. He's Brian fucking Danielson.
Yeah. It's kind of like how WWE would insult our intelligence by giving someone a different name than what everyone's used to, and what WWE was looking at them for was their gimmick, what works for his gimmick, and how they use that gimmick to WWE and adapt it for WWE. It's just another way of insulting the intelligence of the superfan, but then again, they're not going for that. They're going for the PG, the kids, and the parents. So.
Yeah, it makes me think back to when I first heard that they were going to rename the Giant into the Big Show, and I just thought, that is the dumbest name I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
At the very least, you've been calling him Paul White since he debuted. Why would you change that?
Yeah, but with the Big Show, I mean, they were calling him the Giant in WCW, and if memory serves correct, weren't they trying to bill him for a while as the son of the Giant?
I think for a while they were.
If memory serves, that for a while they were trying to bill him as the son of Andre. And, you know, he gets to WWE, and, you know, we all know that's BS, that he's not the son of Andre, but he gets to WWE, and far be it for me to call Vince a cocksucker, but, you know, I think at this point in time that he was actually being quite smart and wanting to separate that as much as he could.
That's true.
Wow, silence. Awesome.
Yeah, well, it's intelligent conversation going on. It's distracting.
I'm still trying to work out how Caval is a marketable name.
You know
and
what?
Why he's being trained by Lakul.
Just change the V to a B and give him a weird mask with a gas mask on the front.
I'm making Mortal Kombat references.
And give him a couple of twin hooks while you're at it, too. I mean, it's just relevant.
Exactly. Just call him Cabal and, you know, all will be fine.
All right. That's guys that are just now creeping into the low card. However, what about guys who are ready for the main event? Who in the WWE roster should be the next ones to get pushed to the top now that there is space for them?
Kofi. I'm standing firm on Kofi Kingston. I think Kofi, and you know, we had this conversation on OWW Radio a couple of weeks ago, which you can hear right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night at 9-ish p.m. Eastern. We were having this conversation about managers and what manager from the past did you bring up to talk, you know, to bring back to work with a guy today. Kofi, to me, is one of those guys that desperately needs a manager. And I think he's fine. I think he's fine as a babyface. I really think he needs somebody to talk for him.
See, I think he did okay when he was feuding with Randy Orton, but they never really let him mature after that. But yeah, I can see your point. I mean, yeah, the manager is a lost art in the WWE, and they've had some really good ones coming down the pipe and absolutely dropped the ball with them, which was really a shame.
Because Armando is a face when he was the GM of Raw and ECW. Armando would be awesome with Kofi.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking that. I mean, Estrada's the name that comes to mind when I think of, okay, what's the manager that WWE's really dropped the ball on the most? So Armando Estrada. I mean, he was an amazing voice on the mic.
Espérate! Espérate! Love
Armando. Better than hearing Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true.
He's so good at that role that I completely forgot that he was a wrestler himself. I mean, when he came out...
He was a wrestler, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, when he came out on ECW and, I even forget who he had to wrestle. It was, what was his name?
Braden Walker.
It wasn't Braden Walker, because I have his DVD collection, and Estrada's not on it.
Wait, Braden Walker has a DVD collection?
Yes! It's a 3-disc, 12-minute feature.
Featuring all 15 minutes of his spotlight.
Again, who the fuck is Braden Walker?
He's a guy on the unemployment line to this day. It was the kid Tommy Dreamer
rock.
Was wrestling. I've totally forgotten.
Dead.
Nick Pauly, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, man, I've got my fingers crossed. I've been very good this year. And I'm
Something's
hoping
happening.
Underneath my tree, I find the 3-disc commemorative set of Braden Walker's greatest hits.
Yes,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh. Cool. Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember that time he stood with his hands on his hips?
Who can forget the time he walked down to the ring?
For 3 weeks in mid-July.
How about
the time
he talked to Matt Hardy? Remember that? That was
pretty good. And he wrestled that other guy.
He did. It's all available in stores now. Get it for Mick. It's
15 minutes of our
great, great 3-disc set. Check it out.
That's awesome.
Oh god.
Remember that time when he was on his back with ref counted 3 all of a sudden?
Yeah, joke's like, over, Mav. You just killed it. Thank you. You just destroyed the entire friggin' spot.
I thought I'd help progress the show.
No. That's a spot killer.
Okay.
Thank you, Rock. You always know how to bring our spirits up with the fail trumpet.
Anyway, yeah. Estrada, so good at that role when he came out for his one match on ECW, and he was built like a tank. It threw me off. Like, I had to go with, wait. Why does he look better than the guy he's wrestling?
I mean, you look at the star. I mean, I think you and I can agree on Kofi, and I'm not going to speak for Mav or Mace. I'll let them speak for themselves about Kofi. But you look at, I think John Morrison is another guy who needs to be elevated finally. And how about R-Truth? He held the NWA World Title when the NWA World Title meant something.
Yeah, I mean, he's proven he can carry a company as a world champion, and he is starting to get a push now on Raw. They have been using him pretty heavily. They've given him his first singles title, and he has.
But he's a U.S. champ now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the U.S. champion now. Of course, remember any other time he's held gold in the WWE so far, it's been tag team, and he's completely gone away from that. I don't even think they've mentioned the fact that him and Morrison used to be a tag team on SmackDown.
I don't know.
But I will agree. I mean, I think, you know, Kofi needs something else, I think, but like John Morrison is someone that I've always had my eye on as someone who should be in the top card eventually. I don't know how much more seasoning he needs. I'm waiting for him to really get a chance to do something big to prove that he deserves that spot. You know, if Mace and Mav have an idea here, you know, they can jump in whenever they want.
I'm trying to think of an idea. I don't see... Well, I can agree with Kofi Kingston on that one. I mean, the guy is there. I would have thought they would put Ted DiBiase a little bit higher. At least lately. But mainly because of the fact that you have a leg... First off, he was supposed to be the face anyway, not Randy Orton. Him and Rhodes. But when it comes to now, in the progress he's made, I could see him getting higher on the ladder, but that all depends on who they're going to move, I guess.
Well, they did want to push him more heavily, but then his brother goes and snaps his ankle during the overseas tour. And he was supposed to have the whole stable behind him right now.
Yeah, because wasn't it supposed to be both DiBiase boys and Rhodes?
No, it was supposed to be both DiBiase boys and Hennig. They were actually going to use that Hennig name at that time. You know, it was supposed to be the Fortunate Sons. You know, that's the name that he was touting before they had to go and cancel this whole idea.
Well, maybe they'll bring it back when DiBiase's brother gets better.
That's my hope. I mean, I really think the Virgil line that he's going with right now is really just a placeholder until they can get the stable together again.
It could be.
Then they could build up that Rotunda kid and put him in there in that stable. And then we'd have money.
I don't think you're going to fit that guy into a suit like his old man.
Be a very big suit.
He's a big boy. See, that's where I think, okay, just give him the nickname Rotund, you know. You know, at least give me a throwback to his real name.
Well, I think that's what they're going for with the Husky part of the name.
But they're making it like that's his first name, though. I don't know. WWE is getting very weird with these names at this point. I think trying to come up with 8 brand new names for NXT just kind of taxed their imagination.
It reminds me of the mid-80s. The mid to late 80s. You had Tugboat and Earthquake and Bob Sparky Plug Holly and The Goon and The Repo Man. And Nails, you know?
That's back when pro wrestling was viewed like a comic book.
It's starting to get back into that again, though. Haven't you noticed that? I mean, they're starting to go back to that direction. WWE is his list, at least. They're starting to go back that direction. And I think it's only a matter of time before it switches and we get a mid-90s push again.
They are just waiting for the new
Shockmaster.
Yeah, it'll be like a clone trooper helmet spray painted in pink. I have seen them. I mean, that's back when WWE was family friendly, when they had very characterful, you know, wrestlers, you know, very colorful costumes, goofy little names and gimmicks that, you know, is easy to follow and understand, but at the same time, these days,
Mike McGillicuddy and Husky, whatever his name is.
But at the same time, these days you've got like Michael McGillicuddy is not like a name that's, you know, extremely simple to remember. It's still a very realistic name. They're still going for very realistic storylines. Where at the same time, they're trying to be that family friendly WWE of the 80s, where everything was simple and colorful. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay. Either go one direction or go the other, because the two do not mix. You need to embrace one direction or the other. Do you want to be realistic or do you want to be cartoon about it?
Well, eventually there's going to be another revolution in professional wrestling, and it's only a matter of time. It is only a matter of time.
Paul Heyman, please sign with TNA quickly and get rid of Russo, Bischoff, Ferrara, Hogan, Nash, Hall, and the other old fuck that's on that roster, and do something good with them, please.
Yes. Spug, we've been wishing for a resurgence in wrestling for the past 15 years. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
That's why he says, Paul Heyman, sign with TNA.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman, please. Please.
That was the entire joke.
Please, Paul Heyman, save wrestling. You did it in the 90s. Do it again.
Just do it again when you're not the one that has to do the banking, too.
Yeah.
Don't touch the fucking checkbook.
Don't touch the money.
I just hope that if Paul Heyman signs with TNA, you know, one day he has to pay a bill or something, he goes into Dixie Carter's office to pick up the checkbook. Like, giant alarms go off, and you just hear this voice.
Paul Heyman, this is God. Put the fucking checkbook down.
It'd be all elaborate, too, with laser beams.
Exactly. It'd be like that scene from, oh my god, what's a Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones movie? The one where she did the gymnastics through the laser chirp wires and fucking spandex and looked hot as hell.
Oh, I know which one you mean. I don't know the name, though.
See, I can see Spock's scenario happening, but instead of, like, alarms going off and everything, Dixie Carter swivels around on the chair like a Bond villain with a rolled-up newspaper going, no, bad Heyman, bad Heyman.
Ah, Mr. Heyman. I see you've come for the checkbook, y'all. Yeah? What do you expect me to do, Dixie? Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Heyman. I expect you to die.
Not yet. No, not dying yet. Make us money first, then you can die.
Yes.
By the way, I'm being told that the movie that I'm thinking of was Entrapment. God, Catherine Zeta-Jones had a nice ass in that movie.
Well, speaking of big checkbooks, we had the big return on Monday night. Mr. McMahon returned from his Bret Hart-induced exile.
I don't think he's going to become a main feature anymore. I still think he's going to stay gone.
I think that was pretty much Vince saying it's over. That was McMahon's closing the chapter on the air.
I think so, too. And I said it on OWW Radio Tuesday night. I like it when McMahon comes out and you can actually tell that he's being fairly sincere.
You could hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was very sincere that he was trying to close everything out and just making it on the air, you know, thank you, Brett. Good luck in what you do from here on out.
Well, I think Brett's going to stick around the WWE.
Yeah, but that's part of, you know, good luck in where you go from here. As an on-screen GM character, but also now that everything's behind them, even after once he goes from the WWE this time around, whatever he does next, you know, Vince is just saying, good luck.
Right.
Interesting.
But yes, this was a topic put in because Tim, a guy who's not here, wanted to talk about it. And we all know we pretty much have our own thoughts on Bret Hart.
Yeah, pretty much. Meh. Bret Hart had another bit with a guy who's always backstage. Meh.
You know, it's funny. I've just now gotten into to subscribing to users on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I think I subscribed to like 3 users total. I see people with like hundreds of, I've got 3. And I've got you, Omega, a guy named Musashi who posts a lot of the E60 stuff, and then another guy who posts a shit ton of wrestling documentaries and videos. And I was watching one the other day called The Life and Death of Owen Hart. And I laughed midway through it. Because I was listening to Martha talk, and then I was listening to Brett talk. And they were talking about Owen and how much he hated doing what he did and how much he didn't want to work for the WWF and that Vince would never let him out of his contract and shit like that. And I went, you know what, dude? You can walk out. You can just quit. Just leave.
Yeah.
You're not a slave. You were never a slave to that company. You could have just left. And then I think of Bret Hart's situation when the screw job happened. And I think of just the opposite for Bret. And it's like, all you had to do was be a man of your word. And even though it was something you didn't want to do, just do it. And none of this would have happened. The last 13 years of wrestling history, from 1997 till now, would have never happened.
It's strange how one event like that can change the course of an entire business.
It would. It would. Without the Montreal Screwjob, I don't think we have the Attitude Era as we know it today.
No, not at all.
Now, see, I would agree though. I mean, it was a shock moment for WWE. It was a change in attitude overall. It was the introduction of Vince as a on-screen character, as the bad guy in appearances. It just one thing that throws off the plans tends to just radically change the course of any event in the industry. You know, like I almost feel like sometimes that we're waiting for that next big event. You know, what's the next thing that's going to make, you know, this the big, you know, the next big star, the next big occasion, the next big event? What's the next screw job going to be?
Unfortunately, with the way WWE is now and the way that they want the history is written by those who win. And unfortunately, for professional wrestling, Vince's vision also became a nightmare. Because while Vince was smart in wanting to globalize professional wrestling into the entity that we have today, it also ate up all his competition. And competition, as we all know, is great for business.
Oh yeah, it puts a fire under everyone's ass, knowing that they can be overtaken, knowing that there is someone on their heels, or knowing that they have to catch up to somebody. There is a big reason to actually put out your best. You know, when you if you're the only place to go, who the fuck cares? You know, just
exactly.
Phone it in.
Yeah, I think with the whole Montreal Screwjob, it kind of lit a fire under the fan, saying, well, why can't we have Bret Hart anymore? And why aren't you trying your best to get Bret Hart back? And that's kind of what helped WCW even gain some numbers. And then when that got bought out, that would say, oh, Bret Hart was on there. They bought it out because it was Bret Hart. That's probably what the initial thought was. But then again, no.
I think when the Montreal Screwjob happened, a lot of the fans, including myself. Because I was 14 or 15, I can't remember. But back, I mean, I was young when it happened, but,
right.
You know, going back to when it happened, I can remember sitting there going, oh, he'll be back on TV tomorrow night. You know, it was all just a big story. That's what I initially thought. And I'm pretty sure a lot of fans of WWF at that point in time thought the same thing. Oh, he'll be back tomorrow night. And so I'm pretty sure it drove up Raw's numbers for the following night. But you think about what it did historically for the business. I mean, Vince revolutionized it in the 80s. He revolutionized it again in the 90s when that happened. And on in today, and then unfortunately though, he's not able to capitalize on the market that he made. Sure, he makes a shit ton of money, but if you had somebody like a WCW or a TNA, if they were worth a shit now, or an ROH or an ECW, just think about the amount of money that would be garnered by both companies.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just Vince eliminating competition, which of course that hurts them. It almost seems like he has created a fan base that he's incapable of predicting. He's incapable of seeing what they want and what's going to be big. You know, when you started pushing Cena down everyone's throats, the second he started taking off, because he was so desperate, you know. Brock Lesnar was supposed to be the next Rock, the next Stone Cold Steve Austin, the next big thing. And when he up and left, Vince had nowhere to go, nothing to lean on. Then so the second John Cena came around and people started latching to him, instantly, you know, give him titles, give him championships, give him custom championships, put him on the mic every single night. You know, just push him out, push him, push. Because he was trying to force the next Rock and is still giving him backlash because he's still not fully accepted by the fans. I mean, that's one reason why, like, Randy Orton has been getting so much attention lately and why he got to be the face. It's because fans just suddenly latched on to him, you know, just out of liking what he did. You know, that's the way that it's supposed to work. That's the way a next big star is made. You know, not by someone who's overexposed, by someone that people genuinely get into.
I wish I had something to add on to that. Let's take a break.
Yeah, I think this is a good spot to take a break. We'll be coming right back. We were talking TNA pay-per-view. Unfortunately, just stick with us. And we'll get a little bit more discussion right after this. This is WTR Sunday Night.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional, realist,
genius. You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Buck Mav.
Oh well, the hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes. Every Friday, right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
Hey, old Mace here. Straight shooter, opinionated, unprofessional. For months, we've had Maverick running around, saying how he's on college radio, how he's professional, he's giving us free plugs. But you know what? Fuck that. If you want to listen to a show that's handcuffed and censored, go listen to his show. If you want to listen to real people with real opinions using real language, then you come listen to us. WrestleTalk Radio is the place where we might cuss out a storm, but we are always entertaining. So join Spug, Will, Omega, Tim Stein, and myself as we give opinions uncensored every Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now you hear that, Mav? Oh, that's real. That's fucking real.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with WrestleTalk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Come on, feel the noise.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night on our special Maverick edition of the show.
Yes.
Fuck me.
See, we put out the olive branch for Mav for the night, and Spug's still going off.
No, you know what? That's fine. I mean, I understand. I'm the new guy. It's fine. I completely understand. And I respect Spug for that.
I'm still going to pee in your mouth.
Oh. What?
No, see, I'm... Whatever.
Speaking of piss in the mouth, TNA Slammiversary.
Great tie-in. You see, win, sir.
Just gotta roll with it. Go with the segues.
Point to Omega.
Alright, I believe we have to get some predictions out of the way for this one.
Do we have to?
Well, we do kind of have to cover it next week.
Fuck it. It's like getting pissed in your mouth. No, I'm out.
Let's not make that a theme, please.
Really? Come on, dude.
Yeah, yes.
That is my vengeance upon people I hate, is before I die, I'm going to pee in their mouth.
Remind me to stay on your good side.
You don't have to worry about it. I told you. When I finally snap and go homicidal and kill everyone, you and my wife are going to be the last bodies on my body wall.
So thoughtful. Thank you very much.
At least you know I like you.
You know, I like you so much, Spug, I'm going to make you pick the first prediction. Kurt Angle versus Kaz.
Wait, Kurt Angle's back?
Yeah.
Is he selling his MREs or whatever the hell it is?
Selling pictures of what's injured this week?
I vote for the ring girl. So go Kurt Angle.
All right, then.
That one guy's got Kurt... some great man titties.
One for Kurt Angle. Mav?
Angle. For sure, Angle.
All right, Mace. If you have a thought, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that with Kurt Angle, this is basically going to be a regular Kurt Angle match. I don't see... But the problem is, he's going up against Frankie Kazarian. And as much as I respect Kaz, this is not a match for him. So I'm going Kurt Angle.
Mace.
Yeah, a bit of a pain in the ass that this is happening on a pay-per-view, because as much as it is Kurt Angle's I'm going to go up the ladder one step at a time bullshit. This is a match I could have easily seen on Impact. Don't need to see it on a pay-per-view. Give me something better for a pay-per-view. That being said, going with Kurt Angle.
Yeah, Kurt Angle, this is his return from his self-appointed hiatus. And, let's face it, it's Kaz on a pay-per-view, so we pretty much know how this one's going to go. AJ Styles versus Jay Lethal in another TNA Impact quality match. Going with Mace first this time.
AJ Styles. Because it'll put an end to this whole Jay Lethal is trying to disrespect Ric Flair bullshit.
Alright, Mav.
I think they could market this a little bit better myself, but if they want to keep the storyline going, I'd have to go Jay Lethal, and I think they could really make some money off this.
Spug?
Jay Lethal.
Really? See, I hate to say it because he's losing so much on pay-per-view these days, but I have to go Lethal too. I mean, I feel bad for AJ at this point.
AJ's become the guy to put people over.
And that's sad, because he's still the best talent, well, second best talent they have on the roster.
That's true.
All right.
Especially with how much more potential the guy still has in his tank.
Okay, in the official match of the Has-Been versus Who's That, Brother Ray versus Jesse Neal. How about Mav first this time?
Why the fuck is this match on a pay-per-view card?
I don't know. Just pick it.
I'm trying to think because they want to push Jesse Neal. But then you have someone as a hard case to work with that Bubba Ray is, even though But I'd have to go Bubba Ray. I do not see Jesse Neal getting anything by pinning Bubba Ray Dudley at this point.
All right, Mace?
I'm going to go with Jesse Neal. They want to try and push this kid up the ladder, and this is a way to do it.
Spug?
Go-Go Gadget Ring Bell? I don't give a fuck, Bubba Ray.
If Ray wins by hitting Neal with a ring bell, I'm going to laugh my ass off.
It'll be fitting.
Yeah, that said, I'm going with Neal on this one. Next up, tag match. Beer Money versus Mr. Anderson and Mr. Felon. Jeff Hardy.
Is he wearing a prison orange?
Not yet, but he may have to have a ankle bracelet on.
I'm going Jeff Hardy. He's got nothing to lose. He's got the might of the prison system behind him, so go Jeff Hardy.
Going to prison, I don't think he wants anything behind him. Mav, pick one.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy's going to have the power of butt-pounding prison on his side, so I'm thinking, yeah, Anderson and Hardy.
Mace.
This will be an interesting match of who could get over more, Hardy or Anderson. And as much as everybody likes to see Jeff Hardy go over Anderson as the more over guy in this, I still reckon the assholes are going to win either way.
Yeah, I've got to pick the assholes here too. Mr. Anderson desperately needs some kind of pay-per-view win if he's going to be pushed the way TNA wants him to be.
I'm going to start calling people assholes as compliments from now on.
All right.
You're a dirty asshole. And I mean that in a good way.
Alright, TNA Tag Team Titles has been 1 and 2, otherwise known as The Band, versus Matt Morgan and his imaginary friend. Mace first this time.
This one's pretty hard to pick because we don't know who's going to show up with Matt Morgan. I'm going to say it's whoever the hell's going to butt-rape Jeff Hardy in a couple of months. And they'll go over for the tag team titles. I don't see the Band retaining.
Spug. In the end, it'll still be Sean Waltman.
I'm going to go for Matt Morgan and his imaginary friend, because my whole thought is that the two members of the Band that are going to defend the titles that night are Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. Nash is going to break another hip on the way to the ring. Somehow he's going to figure out a way to snap titanium. And Hall's going to be too drunk to find the gorilla position to even make it out of the ring entrance.
And And he'll stumble back into JCW.
So where does that leave Eric Young?
In the corner.
Jobless.
Masturbating.
Yeah, if someone sells Scott Hall to get into the gorilla position, he's going to wander off to the zoo. I'm sure of it. But, yeah, I'm going to go Matt Morgan and Mystery Friend, if only because I love this whole split personality that Matt Morgan's got going on.
I thought you were going to say Mystery Friend. I was like, you had lots of invisible friends when you were a kid, didn't you?
Is it just me, or...
What do you mean, when I was a kid?
Valid point, sir.
Yes, we're all imaginary, according to Omega. But does anybody think that Matt Morgan's been reading too many comics featuring Venom for the way he talks?
Does he talk like this?
With his tongue hanging out all the time?
No, he never uses I, it's always we.
Yeah, I'm expecting him to like shed skin and just like watch it slink off like slime.
You know, the moment
he'll go
little
steal
tendrils.
Yeah.
Someone needs to go ring a bell by him and see if little tendrils like flare out and start screaming.
No, if somebody rings a ring bell near him and he suddenly screams, I'm going to think Festus returned.
Yes.
TNA X Division title match. Douglas Williams versus Mr. Spangles, Brian Kendrick. Mab.
Why?
Because it amuses me.
Because I said so.
Yes, puppets! Yes!
Yes. Me being the new guy and all. Now, I don't think Brian Kendrick has any chance in hell getting this spot. This is one of those moments where, what's the point of him being in that spot, to be quite honest? I'm going with Doug Williams all the way. I don't see why they thought, oh, we'll give Brian Kendrick a title shot and expect a good match.
All right, Mace?
Yeah, we're going to go with the British guy who believes he can wrestle, except he can't fucking move more than the sloth's pace in the ring.
But he wins matches.
You know what? Brian Kendrick couldn't even show up for an interview on OWW Radio. What makes you think he's going to fucking show up for a title match?
I think that was Paul London. It was one
Whatever.
Of those stoned bastards.
They're the same seat. They're both stoners.
You say it like it's a bad thing.
I'm gonna go for Mr. Spirit Fingers.
Okay, is that the British guy or the guy with the bedazzler?
I'm gonna go with the guy with the bedazzler, just because I think it'd be fun to see a queer with a championship belt. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, he decorated his own belt. Ultimate Warrior put a different colored strap on there every time he came out to the ring. I just want to see what it would look like that once the gays got a hold of a championship belt, what they do to it. You realize that whole fucking leather strap's going to be sequined and bedazzled by the time Impact comes on Thursday.
Of course.
Hey guys, I got a new belt! Doesn't it look smashing?
I so bought you're saying it from Orlando Jordan.
Yeah, Orlando Jordan's doing his ring gear.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Jeez. It's Orlando Jordan. That praise could be literal. I gotta pick Doug Williams on here. I don't know. Kendrick's a great wrestler, but I don't think TNA knows what the hell to do with him yet.
I don't think he knows what to do with him.
I hope if they give him the title, he bedazzles the shit out of that belt. I hope he bedazzles the living shit out of that thing.
TNA Knockouts title match. Madison Rain versus the returning Roxy.
Who the fuck cares?
Well, Roxy can actually wrestle, but, you know.
Yeah, so could Tara, and you see what they did to her.
Oh, but Madison Rayne reminds Hogan of his daughter, so she's going to get to keep the belt.
You know,
well, Alyssa Flash had talent. Look what happened to her. Sorry.
So many avenues I could go with that joke.
Well, Spug, you pick first.
Since Madison Rayne reminds Hogan of Brooke, I wonder if she looks the same from the back when he's rubbing suntan lotion on her. Or if her hair parts the same way when they're in the shower. Never mind.
Oh. Oh. No, Spug. No.
I gotta applaud that one.
Pick a fucking winner.
I can't. I have too many pedophile jokes running through my head right now. What's the best thing about taking a shower with a 10-year-old? Oh. Slick her hair back. She looks like she's 8.
That's it. I think I know which episode of WTR is one day going to be labeled Exhibit A.
Madison Rayne.
Okay.
She looks like Brooke. I bet you she wears the same colored thong too.
Only
Hogan would know best.
Matt, pick fast.
I'm trying. Oh shit. Wow.
Not legitimate radio.
No, it's not. No. I think Roxy can actually pull this one out because especially with what happened on Thursday and the whole thing with the worst name ever on a female, Rosie Lotta-Love. I think with the addition of Rosie, I think Roxy will be able to win this one, so I'm going with Roxy on this one.
All right, Mace.
I'm only gonna say Roxy.
Oh my God.
For the reason, because we're gonna have Rosie Lovell, Lotta Love, whatever her fucking name is, come down and eat Madison Rayne.
Yes, yes.
And or use her as a friggin' toothpick. Seriously.
for the breast implant excretion that gets stuck between her teeth.
God.
That's just a sampling of some of the things that are being said at the current moment.
Oh shit. Omega, you gotta pick a winner for this so we can hurry up, finish, and get off this topic.
Oh god.
You had to bring up the fact that she looked like Brooke Hogan, didn't you? Didn't you? You started this, sir.
I wasn't making a pedophile joke. I was making an incest joke. There's a difference.
Well?
There's about 8 years difference, actually.
Omega, remember, you're talking to Spug. It's the same fucking thing.
Fairly similar.
It's along the same lines as midget tossing. You gotta be careful here.
Oh, God.
Brooke Hogan midgets!
Okay, maybe not that far along the line.
I'm picking Madison Rayne. The TNA World Title Match. RVD versus Sting.
Who gives a flying fuck?
God. Mav pick.
Yeah, honestly, I can agree. Usually I'm the one defending TNA a little bit, not saying much. But, yeah, who gives a fuck? RVD's going to win anyway. And we all know that Sting's going to take time off. So, definitely, RVD.
All right, Mace.
Fire up the joints. It's Rob Van Dam's next win.
Yes.
Spug.
RVD.
Yeah, this is the worst decision TNA's made in a while, having Sting wrestle a main event when we know he's still injured, and it's going to be RVD easily. And mercifully, we are now done talking TNA Slammiversary.
That was interesting.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yes.
God. And to think I thought this segment wasn't going to be entertaining.
It's because I'm on. I made it entertaining.
Yeah, sure.
Knowing that Spug was going to be talking to me, yes, he's the one that made it entertaining, but it's my presence. So fuck off. Anyway.
You're horrible.
especially when I'm on the A show of the network and I'm saying that shit. What the fuck am I doing? I'm not invited back on anymore.
Yeah. Hope you enjoyed your one shot.
Yeah.
Let's do quick hits and get the hell out of here.
All right. Play the music. It's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
The way it works is I'm going to be asking you guys questions, and you know, you're going to answer them. So we're going to start off with, let's go with the host for the evening, Omega. Is Mr. Anderson the most interesting character in wrestling right now?
They mean the most interesting. I'd have to say yes, if only because he's doing something a little bit different, and he's still got a long way to go with it. I mean, getting the asshole chant going in a positive way is something I didn't expect pro wrestling to be able to do. And lo and behold, here it is. The word asshole has gone from being censored in TNA to being profitable. So, I would have to say yes to that.
So, Mace, what do you think of the latest TNA knockout?
Horrible, freaking green as all shit. She should have stayed on Wrestlelicious where she belongs. Fat bitch shouldn't have gotten the wrestling.
Is that Rosie Lotta Love?
Yeah.
Is she related to Kimono Wanalea by chance?
Quite possibly, who knows. She almost killed, I think it was Daphne in her debut. And seriously, a girl like that should not be using a Yokozuna-style friggin' bonsai drop, whatever they fucking call it, on girls
Work
like that who have implants. Yeah, but these girls have implant tits that, when they rupture, could probably kill them with the amount of chemicals in that shit.
Okay.
It's just saline. They'll live. If not, they'll have squeaky clean contact lenses.
Fuck.
Mav, who's the greatest female wrestler of all time?
The greatest female wrestler of all time. Mainstream or... Yeah, I guess mainstream. Fuck. I would honestly say Francine, because any chick that could bleed that much in the ring against Bill Alfonso deserves legendary status in itself.
Well, you're fucking retarded because it was Beulah McGillicuddy.
And you are going to be kicked off the show starting in about 10 minutes. Anyway, Spug, would AJ Styles be a main event talent in the WWE?
Only if you could put a New York Yankees jersey on him and call him the second coming of the Brooklyn Brawler. No, he's not a main event talent in WWE. He's only a main event talent in TNA because he's been there from fucking day one.
Okay, Omega, back to you. If you could host any game show, what would it be?
any game show. You know what? I want to host The Price is Right.
Why is that?
Because I could do a better job than Drew fucking Carey.
He wants to fuck Barbara's...
Shut up, Matt.
You fail!
Damn it.
Seriously, Matt, really? Come on.
He wants to fuck Barker's bitches.
He just wants to play Plinko. That's why anybody wants to host.
I don't want an 80-year-old sloppy seconds.
That's why anybody wants to host The Price is Right, because you want to be able to play Plinko.
Crawl into bed with one of them and find Metamucil.
Extra fiber.
Mace, what's your viewer's choice match you would like to see on Raw tomorrow?
Basically, what type of match would I like to see? I don't know. I really don't care because I'm not really watching Raw. So, fuck him! Fuck Mav!
Okay. Spug, if you owned a sports franchise, what would you name it?
Oh, no.
Wait, I can answer this for you, Spug.
Shut your mouth!
Heck, I know it already.
I would purchase a professional hockey team. No, take that back. I would purchase another professional football team and call them the Cleveland Steamers, because everything else in this town is shit.
I like to say I called that in the production chat. This is how well I know my co-host.
Yeah, you do. And finally, Mav, what's Tim Stein's best quality?
We he doesn't have one. Show's over. Let's go.
Since when did he have a good quality? I will say the kiss-ass way would be Wild Talk Radio Network. That would be the kiss-ass answer. That's all I got.
Yeah, okay. Mav, you're fired.
Yeah.
Seriously, you're terrible at this game.
It's past midnight. We're letting you out of your contract now.
It's 9 o'clock over here, bitches. Fine, I'll take 3 weeks to go to TNA.
Sure you will.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, where we've had rousing conversations.
Don't say rousing.
We've had rousing conversations about future wrestlers, fucked up names, pedophiles, poop, and other strange subjects.
I want to thank Matt for joining us tonight on this classy edition of the show.
We it's wouldn't like fuck you, Mav. Shut the fuck up and piss off.
Thank you for listening.
Hold on. At the request of Tim Stein, Mav, you have to do something before the show ends.
Okay, what is that?
No.
You have to say fuck Mav. Come on.
I'm trying.
It's not hard. See, no, fuck that. It's real easy.
But
because I know he's gonna use it, and whatever the fuck, I'll say.
Just
fuck
say
Matt.
The fucking line.
See, now I said it. Now Mace interrupted.
Say it again.
Three,
fuck
two,
Matt.
One. Go.
Fuck Matt.
One more time.
Fuck Mav.
There you go.
Yeah!
Had to make sure we got it clean.
Not even Mav likes himself. Tune in to Wrestle Talk Radio next week immediately after TNA Slammiversary for another shit-tacular show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Fuck Mav, buy a shirt!
Fuck that fire shirt. Just don't lose it. Starting to deserve this.
assholes.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.